are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney. And each day, I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 37. And in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 1, the section pertaining to the Most Holy Incarnation. We'll read number 10, the Circumcision. 10. Joseph returned from Bethlehem with five priests and a woman whose services were necessary on such occasions. They brought with them the circumcision stool and an octangular slab with all that was needed for the ceremony. All this was placed in order in the passage. The stool was hollow and formed a chest which could be taken apart, thus affording a kind of low seat with a support on the side. It was covered with red. The circumcision stone was, perhaps, over 2 feet in diameter. In the center was a metal plate, under which in a hollow of the stone were all kinds of little boxes containing fluids. These boxes were in separate compartments, and at one side lay the circumcision knife. The stone was laid upon the little stool, which, covered with a cloth, always stood on the spot upon which Jesus was born, and the circumcision stool was placed next to it. That evening, a repast was spread under the arbor at the entrance to the cave. A crowd of poor people had followed the priests, as is usual on such occasions, and during the meal they were continually receiving something both from the priests and from Joseph. The priests went to Mary and the child, spoke with the mother, and took the child in their arms. They also spoke to Joseph about the name the child was to receive. They prayed and sang the greater part of the night, and circumcised the child at daybreak. Mary was very much troubled, very anxious about it. After the ceremony, the infant Jesus was swathed in red and white, as far as under the little arms, which also were bound, and the head wrapped in a cloth. The child was again laid on the octangular stone, and prayers recited over it. If I remember rightly, the angel had already told Joseph that the child should be called Jesus. And I have a faint recollection that one of the priests did not at first approve the name. Consequently, they still continued in prayer. Then I saw a radiant angel standing in front of the priest and holding before him a tablet, like that above the cross, upon which was inscribed the name of Jesus. I saw the priest writing the name upon a scrap of parchment. I know not whether he or any of the others saw the angel, but deeply moved, he wrote the name under divine inspiration. After that, Joseph received the child back and handed it to the Blessed Virgin, who, with two other women, was standing back in the crib cave. Mary took the weeping child into her arms and quieted it. Some shepherds were standing at the entrance of the cave. Lamps were burning and the dawn was breaking. There was some more praying and singing, and before the priest departed, they took a little breakfast. I saw that all present at the circumcision were good people. The priests were enlightened and later attained salvation. Alms were distributed the whole morning to many poor people who presented themselves. Afterward followed a crowd of beggars, filthy black creatures, very repulsive to me. They carried bundles, and coming up from the Valley of the Shepherds, passed the crib as if going to Jerusalem for the celebration of a feast. They were very boisterous, cursing and scolding horribly, because they did not receive by way of alms as much as they wanted. I do not know exactly what the matter was with them. During the ceremony of circumcision, the ass was tied further back than usual. At other times, it stood in the crib cave. During the day, I saw the nurse again with Mary attending to the child. That night, the child was very restless from pain. It cried, and Mary and Joseph tried to soothe it by carrying it up and down the cave. While reflecting upon the mystery of the circumcision, I had a vision. I saw two angels with little tablets in their hands, standing under a palm tree. Upon one tablet were pictured various instruments of martyrdom, of which I remember one, a pillar, which stood in the middle. On it was a mortar, which had two rings. On the other tablet were letters denoting the seasons and years of the church. On the palm tree, and as if growing out of it, was kneeling a virgin, her flowing mantle or veil, for it was fastened over her head, floating around her. In her hands was a heart upon which I saw a tiny shining child. I saw an apparition of God the Father draw near to the palm tree, break off a heavy branch that formed a cross, and laid it on the child. Then I saw the child raised, as it were, on the cross, and the Virgin reaching the palm branch with the crucified child on it, to God the Father, the heart alone remaining in her hand. On the evening of the following day, I saw Elizabeth on an ass, and accompanied by an old servant coming from Juta to the cave. Joseph received her most cordially. The joy of Mary and Elizabeth was extremely great as they embraced each other. Elizabeth pressed the child to her heart. She slept in Mary's cave next to the place in which Jesus was born. Before the sacred spot stood a stool upon which they often laid the child. Mary told Elizabeth all that had been happening to her, and when Elizabeth heard of their difficulty in getting lodging on their arrival in Bethlehem, she wept heartily. Mary gave her all the details of the infant Jesus' birth. I remember hearing her say that she had been in ecstasy 10 minutes at the time of the Annunciation, that it appeared to her as if her heart had grown double its size, and that she was filled with unspeakable happiness. But at the child's birth, she had experienced an intense longing. She felt, while kneeling, that she was upheld by angels, and as if her heart was broken asunder and one half taken from her, she had also been 10 minutes in ecstasy at the time of the birth. She had been conscious of an emptiness within her, a longing after something outside of herself. Suddenly a light shone before her, and the figure of the child seemed to grow before her eyes. Then she saw it moving and heard it crying, and coming to herself, she raised it from the rug to her breast, for at first seeing it environed with glory, she had hesitated to take it up. Elizabeth said, "Thou hast not given birth in the same way as other mothers. The birth of John was sweet also, but it was not like that of thy child." Once I saw Elizabeth with Mary and the child concealing themselves toward evening in the side cave. They remained there the whole night, for visitors from Bethlehem were approaching by whom they did not want to be seen. The Jewish women do not leave their children long without other nourishment than the breast, and so the infant Jesus was fed in those first days on pap made of the sweet, light, nutritious pitch of a certain rush-like plant. As in the temple at Jerusalem, the holy feast of the Maccabees began at this time. It was also celebrated by Joseph in the crib cave. He fastened 3 lamps with 7 little lights on the walls of the cave, and during a whole week lighted them morning and evening. Once I saw in the cave one of the priests who had been present at the child's circumcision. He had a roll of writings from which are prayed with St. Joseph. It seemed to me that he wanted to find out whether Joseph had kept the feast or not. I think, too, that he announced to him another, for a fast day was near at hand. I saw the preparations for it in Jerusalem. Food was prepared the day before the feast. The fire was covered, servile work was put aside, the doors and windows were hung with tapestry. Anne often sent servants with gifts of provisions and utensils, all of which Mary soon distributed to the poor. Once Anne sent a beautiful little basket of fruit with large, newly blown roses stuck in among it. The pink roses were paler than ours, almost flesh-colored, and there were some yellow and some white. Mary was very much pleased and placed it beside her. And now came Anne herself, accompanied by her second husband and a servant. The infant Jesus stretched out his little arms to her, and great was her joyful emotion. Mary gave her a full account of all she had done to Elizabeth. They mingled their tears together, pausing at times to fondle the infant Jesus. Anne had brought with her many things for Mary and the child, coverlets, swathing bands, etc. Although Mary had already received so many things from her, yet the crib cave was still quite poor in appearance, since whatever was at all unnecessary was given away at once. Mary told Anne that the kings from the east were approaching with rich gifts, that their coming would attract much attention. Anne, therefore, resolved to go and stay with her sister, who dwelt at some hour's distance, and to return after the departure of the royal visitors. Then I saw Joseph set to work to clear out the crib cave, as well as those in its vicinity, in order to prepare for the arrival of the kings whom Mary in spirit had seen coming. He went also to Bethlehem to make the second payment of taxes and to look around for a dwelling, for he intended to settle in Bethlehem after Mary's purification. This concludes our reading today about the circumcision of Jesus. And now we begin our reflection upon what we have just read and heard. So the nature of the circumcision, kind of detailed here. We even come to understand the pain and suffering that the Christ child experienced from it, and so forth, similar to the pain that he will undergo in the Passion. Well, not similar to, but this is the experience of pain in the Christ child that he is meant to redeem. The child was again laid on the octangular stone and prayers recited over it. So here are prayers being recited over the child Jesus, the one who is the object of our prayers, the one who receives our prayers, but he is being prayed over. If I remember rightly, the angel had already told Joseph that the child should be called Jesus. So Anne Catherine Emmerich giving this commentary and kind of makes you wonder, because if Anne Catherine Emmerich knew well the scriptures, she would know that in the sequence of the Gospels that, yes, that happened. But if she's writing here about her experience of her visions, well, then that's understandable too, why she would say, if I remember rightly, Joseph was already given the name to give the child of Jesus. Another image, just to put in your prayer arsenal, Mary took the weeping child into her arms and quieted him. Some shepherds were standing at the entrance of the caves, so forth. But Mary taking the weeping child and maybe just imagining her soothing the head of the child, of Jesus who's crying, of that crying ceasing. Just one of those little images of Mary that Anne Catherine Emmerich is affording us. There's an apparition of God the Father that we heard today. And then I think, you know, one last thing to mention is that on two different occasions now, we have heard about how the Holy Family celebrated something in their home. Just a few days ago, it was the Sabbath after the birth of Jesus, how they celebrated it in the crib cave with others that had come. But now we hear about them celebrating the Feast of the Maccabees, how they lighted their candles in the morning and in the evening. And so the devotion of the home life, something that we see, they embrace their Jewish customs and take this notion of what the Holy Family does and, again, make it applicable to your life. The celebration of feast days in the church. Novenas. Do we pray as a family maybe for 9 days? How do we celebrate Christmas? How do we celebrate New Year's, which is the feast of the circumcision, traditionally speaking? But that if we want to live like the Holy Family lived, well, then we're keeping holy our Sabbath, the Sunday, and we're observing these holy feasts in our homes as well. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com. And use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Also, please share the podcast with others. Email it to your friends, text a link, let them know you're listening, invite them to listen, and you'll have holy conversations about the readings that we are listening to and engaging with. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.